family. So I've got a question for you this morning. I'm not going to do all the work. You're going to do the hard work this morning. So the question is, how do we belong to God? What makes us become part of his family? So I want you to turn to the people next to you and just chat for a minute about that. How do we belong to God? What makes us part of God's family? Saying about becoming a Christian just in two sentences. I didn't warn anybody. I can say it, but if anybody wants to, do you fancy? I'll come to you at the relevant moment. Okay, let's see how we're getting on with that. Anybody want to try and answer that question? Aidan, I will come to you, but I'll come to you later. Because you have participated so wonderfully in so many things, so we'll give other people a chance first. So anybody else, adults included, oh, I'm being pointed in a direction. Where am I being pointed? Here.
Felix was telling me how God made us, so we belong to him because of that.
Excellent. Okay, so we're made by God, so we're his children in that sense. Anything else? How do we come to join? Right, Pete.
I read somewhere it says we love him because he first loved us.
Excellent. Okay, so when we come to understand that God loves us, then we respond in love for him, don't we? Excellent. Right, who else? Somebody else was waving. Daphne is waving.
Well, right at the beginning, my parents introduced me to God when I used to go to church and go to Sunday school. So that's how I started to know God.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Okay, so other people are involved in helping you to know about what it means to belong to God. Now, Eden, what were you going to say?
We got the Holy Spirit.
Very good. Yes. So we have a special helper, God's Holy Spirit, who helps us to know that relationship with him personally, doesn't he? Helps us to understand it more, to grow in it. Really good. Right, I'm coming to the back. Just doing my challenge Annika run. Right, oh, I've got one here. Lovely.
Our parents first went to belong to God, so then we belong to God.
Very good. Lovely, thank you very much. Anybody else in the back here? Oh. Maureen was going to say something. What were you going to say, Maureen? No? Okay. Right. Now, I'm looking around, and there's one answer that I haven't yet heard that I was expecting to hear at some point. No pressure. That might not be that answer.
It might not be that answer, but this made me think of Jesus saying... Sorry. This made me think of Jesus saying, that which you do for the least of my people, you do for me. So even as aliens and strangers in the world, we belong because we are part of that plan that...
Excellent. Yeah. No, that's great. We're actually going to come on to that in a minute. We're going to come on to that in a minute. So we thought a lot about... Because God made us, we belong to him because we're his people. But how do we actually come into that personal relationship with him? What is the one crucial point that we haven't quite heard yet? After three, you can shout it out to me. One, two, three. Oh, thank goodness for that. You do know. Jesus Christ. Excellent. So we believe in Jesus. We were made by God as his people, but we went away. We went and did our own thing. We didn't live in his light. We chose to go our own way. We chose to rebel against God. But he sent Jesus so that we can come back into the light, so that we can become part of his family, so that we can know him for ourselves. Now, is there somebody who would like to tell us about that for them, about coming to know Jesus for themselves? I'm heading in this direction because I think Kyle might be willing to do this. Excellent.
Shall I stand up so people see? Okay. Well, I suppose the Bible has lots of stories where people are in exile from God. The Jews were, Jesus was when he was in the desert. And I was exactly the same. When I was about 5 years old, I can see lots of boys who are around the same age I was when I was in a school choir, a church choir. And I was a singer in the church choir and had the privilege of hearing God's word every single Sunday. And that was what, like Ethan said, put the Holy Spirit in me. It inspired me by hearing God's word every single Sunday. And then I hit puberty. And it wasn't cool anymore to be into God. So I was in exile for a long time until I was in my mid-20s when I was going through a really, really hard time. And my dad literally dragged me by the scruff of my neck. I mean, literally dragged me by the scruff of my neck to Sunday church up in the Western Isles where we were then. And I found again that light, like in our shout, that light that is Christ inside us. And I connected with Christ again, thanks to the Holy Spirit, hearing the word of God again. And that's how I came back to faith and how it's been strengthened through my relationship with my wife and being here at St. Michael's.
Thank you, Carl. That's really helpful. Thank you so much. Well, I grew up going to church as well, but it didn't really become real for me either until I was a teenager. I went to church. I was baptized as a child, just like Evelyn's going to be this morning. But it was when I heard somebody explaining the good news of Jesus when I was 13 that suddenly it made sense. Suddenly I understood for the first time what Jesus had done for me, that he died in my place so that I could be forgiven, so that I could have eternal life with him. And suddenly everything changed. And that's what we're thinking about this morning. When we come to the baptism, we're going to be hearing those promises that Chris and Eunice and Evelyn's godparents are going to make on her behalf. Promises to repent of the sins that separate us from God and others, to turn to Christ, to submit to Christ, to come to Christ. We may all have been going to church for a long time, but each one of us has to reach that point where we make that decision for ourselves to follow Jesus Christ, to give our lives to him. And we have to make that decision public by telling other people about it. And we do that in church through baptism, by acknowledging publicly that we've reached that point in faith. And if we are baptized as a child, we do it through confirmation later, when we publicly affirm that we believe those promises that were made on our behalf. So when we belong to God, when we belong to Jesus Christ, when we've made that decision, then we receive his mercy, his forgiveness for rejecting him and living as if he didn't exist, his kindness, his love, his generosity in our lives every day. We have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The Creator and Lord of the universe then invites us to call him our Father. And that relationship transforms our lives now and forever. Now, our passage told us something else really important about belonging to God's family, about being part of his people. Because when we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we've been called out of darkness and into his light. So my next question for you this morning, my next question is, what does it mean to be called from darkness into light? So, 30 seconds, talk to people near you. What does it mean to be called from darkness into light? Okay, any thoughts from anybody who didn't say anything last time, who'd like to say? Any thoughts about what it means to be called from darkness into light. What does that mean? We say it quite a lot, don't we? We talk about that in church quite a lot, but what does it really mean? Go on, somebody, be brave. Oh, well done, Mike.
I likened it to the difference between stepping on Lego and building with Lego. So if you're in the darkness, you're walking around and it's painful and it hurts. And then in your light, you're doing something constructive and calming and positive.
Wow. Wow. Do you know, Mike is in my home group and every week he has an illustration for something that makes me think about it differently. I love it. Great visual picture there. Okay, anybody else want to add to that? Yolanta, can I pass this along behind you? Thank you very much.
I think being in the darkness is when your heart is closed, and so you can't experience God's love and you can't give out love. And being exposed to the light is opening our hearts so that the light of God can enter us, and also that we can share that love and for it to shine out to others.
Thank you. Karen.
I think it, for me, it's rather than just sort of bumbling along in amongst everybody else, it's seeing myself as God's child, and that relationship makes a profound difference, brings light into my life.
Thank you. Lovely. Anybody else? Yes, Michelle. Can I pass that back? Thank you.
For me, it's about being lost and confused in the darkness and having a revelation and seeing clarity after that revelation and purity and truth.
Thank you. Wonderful. Let's put that one off for a moment. Well, when we come to the baptism again, you'll see some more clues on that baptism sheet that help us as we think about this. What does it mean to be called out of darkness into light? It's about living differently, isn't it? Living differently with God's help. It's about deliberately turning away from things that are part of the darkness, part of rebellion against God, things that don't please Him, things that are evil. It's about all the things that are part of our own selfishness, the ways in which we put ourselves first, regardless of God and of other people. So when we belong to God's family, we have a new identity through Jesus. Through Him, we become new people as we step out of the darkness into the light. And that means our lives should look different to the people around us. Now, I need a bit more help. So anybody who would like to come and help me, would you like to come to the front? Yep, Eden. Anybody else? It's nothing hard, I promise. It's really, really easy. You don't really have to do anything difficult. Anybody else going to come and help me? Yes, thank you, Hosey. Well done. Excellent. Good. Right. Now, you're going to come into the light of my torch here. Oh, yes, we've got some light. I won't blind you. Right. So, if you want to come and stand over here, okay. Now, would you like to take the torch? Now, I'm going to stand here with my mirror, okay. And if I hold up my mirror, can I get the light to reflect back? Can you see where it's going? Because I can't see what I'm doing here. Let's try the other way around. This worked in practice. Right. Oh, I'm losing pieces of paper. Let's get those out of the way. Right. Okay. Now, if you move the mirror. Oh, yes, I can see that shining on me now. Can you get it to shine and reflect on anybody else from there so that you can see it? You managed to get it on them? Yes, you got it on the people at the front there. How far can we get it? We got it on some other people there. We've got it on the front, haven't we? Because I can see it reflecting behind me. Yes. Right, so we'll see if we can get it onto Eden. Oh, there we go. Good mirror. movement there. We've got light shining on Eden. Well, our passage talks, wait 2 seconds because I need you again in a minute. Our passage talks about belonging to God and therefore telling other people about the wonderful things he's done. Now, with our torch, if we shine that light, we can reflect the light onto other people. So when I hold the light and we move the mirror, it's not that the mirror is the light. The mirror is simply the means of reflecting the light to shine elsewhere, isn't it? So living our lives as a Christian means living lives that are different, that are distinctive, that reflect God's light so that others will recognize God at work. Jesus said he's the light of the world, and he told his disciples that they've become the light of the world through belonging to him. Not because we are the light, we're not, but we are called to reflect the light of Jesus so that others can see him. We're not the light, but we are the mirrors that reflect his light. Now, if you turn away from the light, that's it. Do you want to turn all the way around? Then the mirror can no longer reflect the light, can it? Eden, do you want to take the torch and shine it? So the mirror can no longer reflect the light because there's something between you there. You're looking the wrong way. And if you get behind a pillar, do you want to go behind that pillar? Or behind the font, that will do. There's an obstacle in the way, isn't there? There's something in the way that stops the light. So the light is hitting the font now. It can't hit the mirror. It can't reflect back to other people. And in our lives, it's a bit like that in our relationship with Jesus. We have to be turned towards Jesus. We have to be looking at him and growing to know him more and more. Otherwise, we can't reflect his light to others. And we have to make sure that there's nothing that comes between us and his light, because otherwise we won't reflect that to the world as well. If we let other things get in the way of our relationship with Jesus, then we stop reflecting that light to others in the way he wants us to. When we belong to God, we're part of his family, then we have that new identity in Jesus. We're called out of the darkness and into the light. And that means living differently. It means reflecting his light and his love to the people and the world around us. Our light is Jesus himself. When we belong to Jesus, we have to reflect that light so that others can see it. So guys, just one more demonstration. See if we can reflect some light onto these people in the front. We've got some people over here. Can we manage to reflect light over to them so they can see it? If they come forward a bit. Do you want to come around the corner a bit, guys? See if we can get this light reflecting onto you. Oh, yes. Some master manoeuvring going on here. I know you can't see that further back, but I can see it. Well done. Thank you very much. Do you want to go and sit down? That's awesome. Thank you very much. Lovely. Round of applause, guys. We're going to think a little bit more about that when we get to the baptism, but at the moment I'm going to hand back to Lauren.